Good morning, my name is Michael Martin. I'm from the University of Georgia. Today I'm presenting on automated determination and maintenance of optimal light levels for controlled environment agriculture. So our objective is a fairly simple one. Can an ideal light level for plant growth be determined using physiological parameters? Why is this important? Money. It always comes down to money. Whether it be the cost of the lighting fixtures, the cost to operate them, or just how much the electricity costs, it's all very important to understand how we use our light, why we use our light, and the direction that our plants are going to use this. So it comes down to effective light use. In a vertical farm, electricity accounts for approximately 60% of the total cost. The two main costs for the electricity are air conditioning and operating the lights in a vertical farm. When we move over to greenhouses, I'm going to give you a quick example. And if you go to any of the other UGA presentations, you'll see this example a lot. We have 500 400-watt lights. If we have them on for 14 hours a day and we pay 10 cents per kilowatt hour for our electricity, that's a total of $280 per hectare per day. Well, in Georgia, say we run our lights for 90 days out of the year. That's $25,000 per hectare. If we move someplace where we have 180 days of light, that's $50,000, or if we need it for a whole year, that's $100,000, give or take, per hectare. That begins to add up extremely quickly. But it's also important to understand not only the monetary aspects of how we use our money, how we use our lights, but how does our plants, how do they use their light? And here in this example, we're going to increase our light level in this light response curve for lettuce green towers. On my x-axis, I have light. On the y-axis, I have electron transport rate, ETR. Electron transport rate is a good proxy for photosynthesis. It's the number of electrons that are moving through the plant. As the light comes in, it's how the electrons are moving through photosystem too. So we're going to increase our light level by 200 micromoles. We see the arrow on the bottom. And we see that we have about a 60 micromole increase in electron transport rate. When we have another 200 micromoles of light, this time we only get a 40 micromole increase in our electron transport rate. And as we go through, we see that for the same 200 micromoles that we continue to add in this light response curve, we get less and less return on what the plant is using and how it's using it. So this last one, we only get a 10 micromole increase in our electron transport rate. But we're still paying for that extra 200 micromoles. So the point I want you to see or make from this is that as we increase our light level, we're increasing our cost, but we're also increasing our efficiency of the plant and how it's using that light. So more light is not always a good thing. So going back to our objective, we're going to try to accomplish our objective by using chlorophyll fluorescence. If you're not familiar with chlorophyll fluorescence, we have absorb light coming into the plant. Most of that light is hopefully being used for photochemistry. Some goes out as heat through NPQ, non-chemical photoquenching. And then a small amount is absorbed and then re-reflected or re-emitted as chlorophyll fluorescence. What we're specifically measuring is chlorophyll fluorescence, when we measure it rather, is the photosystem 2 reaction center, how it's using light, how it's being sent forth, and a brief introduction of chlorophyll fluorescence. The two things we're mostly interested in is quantum yield. Quantum yield is how efficiently photosystem 2 is using the light the plant's receiving. Then we also have the electron transport rate that I just briefly talked about. It's a calculated value, and we use the quantum yield that we receive from the fluorometer, the light level. Then we multiply those two by 0.84, which is the amount of light that's intercepted by the plant. And then we multiply it by 0.5 because we assume that half the light coming in is going to photosystem 1, the other half is going to photosystem 2. And the number of electrons that are moved, and again, ETR is the number of electrons that are moved through photosystem 2. So for our materials, it's fairly simple. Again, we had green towers lettuce. We had a biofeedback system, which I'll explain here briefly, and then a growth chamber. We We put the plants in, let them grow. And so for our biofeedback system, we have in the top center, we have our current control power supply. It is supplying power to our LEDs. The fluorometer sends a signal to the plant. It collects the data, does the quantum yield. This data is then sent back to a data logger, which holds that data. It also collects light sensor data. The data logger interprets that and says, okay, I need to move on to my next step. It sends a signal to the current control power supply again, and it adds more light to our system. So we're using the data logger to control everything. It's telling the light level or telling the power supply to add more light. And, they're not there. We had five levels, and I'll go through those briefly here in a second. Don't know where they're at in my slide. So how this system worked, we started off at 100 micromoles of light, and on the bottom here we have our time. We have micromoles of light here, micromoles of light, and then micromoles of electron transport rate. And what we're doing is we're going to start off at 100 micromoles. We're going to measure the electron transport rate, and that's going to be our baseline. We're going to add another 25 micromoles of light, and what we're looking for is that 25 micromoles of light that have come in, that new 25, we want 45% of that to be used efficiently by the plant. And we keep doing this. We keep adding light, we keep measuring, and we keep looking for that 47% increase every step. When we get to the top, we see that the plant can't keep up anymore. It doesn't use that light at 47%. So we bump it down, we draw it down to that previous light level. In this case, it's 300 micromoles. And then for the rest of the day, we carry out that light level. So our methodology, the green towers lettuce that we were experimenting with, we kept them in a growth chamber at 20 degrees Celsius. They were maintained at 250 micromoles. And then we use the biofeedback system to calculate the change in ETR. So in that previous example, we were using the biofeedback system to calculate, did we have a 47% increase every time? Or was it being used at 47% every time? We used this to determine the ideal light level and maintain it. And then we had five levels we were looking for. We had 28%, 38%, 47%, 57%, and 66%. And again, we're looking for that every time we add that 25 micromoles of light, that 66% of it is being used by the plant. So here we have our results. And you see that when we have a 28% increase, that we end up with a very high light level. It was kind of counterintuitive for me to start with. I always thought, this smaller level, we're going to have it's something that took me a while to get my head wrapped around. Because you have these increases, and as they're increasing, the increase is getting smaller and smaller. So the light level can get higher and higher until you reach that 28% threshold. And that's what this really is a threshold. So here you see at 28%, we have a 400 micromole increase. It got up to 425. The plant couldn't handle it at 425. It said, I've got enough light. And so we pulled it back down to 400. And that's where we maintained it for the rest of the day. At 38%, you see slightly lower. But again, as I was talking, we're looking at that threshold, at how efficiently that plant is using that new light it's getting. And so at 38%, that threshold is just slightly lower. When we look at 47%, again, a little lower, really a lot lower in this case. At 57%, just slightly lower. And again, we're looking for that threshold of when does the plant stop using that light, or when is it below 57% for that new light that's coming in. And then lastly is our 66%, which is at the very bottom. And so this is saying that the plant levels out quicker at 66% because it's reaching that threshold faster. So here we have our quantum yields. And I want to point out two things to you. When we have very low light levels, as we saw previously, and I'll go back real quick, the 66% is about 175 micromoles. Well, here we see that at 175 micromoles, we have a very high quantum yield, but that's not really enough light for the plant to do anything with. It can grow, it can function, but it doesn't flourish. The bottom, where we had it at a 400 micromolite level, we had a very low quantum yield. So here, when we plot out light level over quantum yield, we see that we have a decreasing relationship between them. We had a R value of 0.93. And when we do electron transport rate over light level, I want you to notice in the top here that the 38% was actually higher than the 28%. And it's showing that we have so much light that the plant really can't use it at all. It's just sitting there. It's got too much light and it's struggling to keep up. So for our summary, for our change in for our 28% threshold, it resulted in higher light levels, but we had reduced quantum yields. So we have an increased lighting cost for decreasing returns. We have a change in electron transport rate, or we have a 60%, 66% threshold. We result in lower light levels. We have much higher quantum yields, but these light levels are not really adequate for the lettuce growth. In some previous studies we've done, we found out about 250 micromoles is the ideal light level for Green Towers lettuce. This was almost 100 micromoles below that threshold. So our big question, can we use light levels, or can we use physiological parameters to determine light levels? Yes, we can. It's plain and simple. We can do it. But the big question is, what light level is best? Where do we need to go? How do we need to do this? And it depends. It really does. What's the value of your crop? What are your lighting costs? The cost of the lights, the cost of electricity, the maintenance, all those kind of inputs that you have to consider. So yes, we can do this, but how much is it going to cost? How much are you willing to spend on lighting these plants? And at the end of the day, I think all the research we do comes back to, how much are we willing to spend on lighting these plants? Is it a worthwhile endeavor? So for us, what's next? And to me, this is one of the most interesting things. Right now, this process, it takes about 3 hours to find that ideal light level. I'd like to see if we could shorten it down to one. And what that comes down to is how we do our chlorophyll fluorescence measurements. If you do them too rapidly, you cause photo inhibition, you cause other damage to the plant. We found out we can do several very quick methods or quick measurements over an hour and then begin to stretch them out as the day progresses. And by doing so, we don't see this damage. If we did the measurements, say 5 minutes every day or 5 minutes all day, by the end of the day, that plant is just shot. You're not going to be getting good values from it. The rest of the plant is fine, but where you're taking that one measurement from is not going to be a good point. I'd also like to improve the model that we're using. I'd like to improve the crop value and our electrical cost. I'd like to be able to say that this crop is worth X amount to me, and my electricity costs are 10 cents, 15 cents, and put that in, and as the plant is saying, okay, I need 400 micromoles of light, it be able to pull it back down and say, I'm only willing to spend a penny on you, or a penny extra, and have that calculated into our model. Where this also leads is I'd like to include shortened production time. Some of the research we've done, we're able to cut 2 and 3 days off of a 28-day production cycle. Well, if you're doing 12 production cycles a month and you cut 3 days off a month, off a cycle, that's 36 extra days you have at the end of the year to do another cycle. If I look at you and say it's going to cost you $10,000 a month to light, and you're going to make $1 million off of that extra crop, is it worth paying $130,000 to get that extra million crop in? I think it is. Most growers think it is. And it really depends on how you're set up. If it's a high demand, high value, or high demand commodity, rather, then yes, it's there. But it's a personal choice, a personal decision on how much money you're willing to spend. I'd like to thank our sponsors, and I think I've got a good couple of minutes to... Yes?
Good presentation. I have a question. How do you account for
I'll answer your last one first. We don't really look at the lower canopy right now. It's mostly the upper canopy where we're taking our measurement. It would be nice for us to eventually be able to do the entire plant as far as chlorophyll fluorescence measurements to get an entire plant model. Your first question, if you could repeat it one more time.
The diurnal response.
The diurnal response. Personally, I would like to be able to do this every day so that you run it. So the plants, you turn the light off at, say, 12 o'clock or at midnight. They sit for 6 hours. It comes back up, and then it starts this process again so that every day you have a new light level. Say again?
Also through the day.
Through the day? Yeah, we could do it through the day. With this system, if we say it's at 250 micromoles, it stays at 250 micromoles. But it is possible to go in and adjust it. And if we see the plant starting to stress out at that light level, to decrease that light level, we're just not to that process. I think I'm about out of time. If you have questions, y'all can see me afterwards.